guys want to stand? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the graduation for these two young folks, year 2009. We're going to start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for a chance to be here, the reason for being here. Lord, a lot of kids graduate every year from high school across this land. It's not all that many kids that graduate, Lord, as Christians. Much less Bible-believing Christians, from moms and dads who've loved them and trained them and taught them. I know that there are pluses and minuses. I know there's a lot of hard work involved. We pray that you will bless this to their hearts. May this be an encouragement to them and to all here who are endeavoring to do the same thing as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Like I said, I'd like to welcome you. Everybody here pretty much knows what's going on. We don't have a Christian school, and this is not a public school. These two young folks are graduating as homeschoolers. Now, the one good thing about being a homeschooler is that you usually graduate valedictorian of your class. So you have the opportunity to hear two valedictorians here tonight. But it's our pleasure for these two folks. For one of them, of course, is my son, but we're just as pleased for Haley and all the hard work and labor that her mom and dad and herself put in. So we're going to start here. Each of these young folks are going to get up and say a couple of things, and then we'll let you know what happens from there.
Of course. Okay, well, hi. It's funny, my mom mentioned, you know, the grad ceremony maybe a few months ago. Oh, you want to do it? I was like, not really. And but she's like, too bad, you're doing it anyway. And so I was like, okay. And a while ago, she was like, well, do you have anything you want to say? And I was like, not really. Yeah, and she's like, well, you're doing it anyway. So here I am. But it's really been a blessing to be able to be homeschooled for like the last 3 years. It's definitely different from public school, you know. For one thing, you don't have to be up before noon. And, you know, you can pick and choose what you want to do. And so whenever I had, like, a math problem I couldn't figure out or chemistry or something, I would take it to Mom, and she couldn't get it. Well, it wasn't worth doing, so we just skip it. Yeah, so I don't know, it's just been a really big blessing because I've been able to focus more on the Lord, you know, as to where I know that I couldn't if I was in public school. I really couldn't, you know. Because for one, you know, they come down on you for bringing your Bible, and they come down on you for, you know, not being like them. So it was a lot easier for me. And I know, for one, I couldn't have done any of this without my mom. I mean, she works full-time. And then she, above all that, she prepares, you know, my school, and she grades, and she does all this. And it was really difficult for to start off with, I know, just because getting used to all of it. And but, you know, we made it. And funny is, you know, it was kind of a challenge, a lot of it, because a lot of people think my mom and I are a lot alike, but there's one point where we are just polar opposites. You know, my mom is the queen of organization and, you know, order, and I just might be the world's worst procrastinator. So that was interesting trying to work with her on that. But we did it, and I'm glad for it, and, you know, I'm glad for, I don't know, this is just a really great opportunity. I'm thankful for everybody who's helped me out. I know, like, our assistant pastor and our pastor have loaned us materials and just things like that, and it was helpful, and, you know. All right, well, I'm obviously bad at this. But I would just like you guys to pray for me while I'm going off to college next year. I'm going to St. Cloud. I'm going to work for my nursing degree. And just hoping I stay close to the Lord, and I believe with prayer and, you know, diligence that I will. So I just, please pray for me. Thank you.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to say the reason why I don't have a yellow thing is because I am too dumb. My parents tried to say, no, that's not it. We just didn't have it. But I think they're lying to me. So I just wanted to say that first of all. Anyways, but seriously, though, I really do want to thank God for this. I remember looking back years on, you know, Renee and John and my brother and Stephanie, Sarah and Katarina graduating and thinking my time's coming, you know, in 10, 20 years, you know. And, you know, it was 2009, you know, and it was such a far, long way away. And then this year came around, and it was like, man, is this really my senior year? And it's here, you know. I graduated, I finished school and all that, and you know, it's a good feeling knowing that you've finished a part of your life, a very big part. And so that's where I am here now, and I believe that the Lord is been directing me towards PBI. I know many of you, I was thinking about the Marine Corps and all that and things like that, but I actually think now I know why. You know, of course, we had presidency issues and all that, and I don't really want to serve under Barack Obama, but I know, though, I think now the Lord didn't want me to go in because I could see my own decline and not being able to read my Bible and pray every day. And I noticed that at home, and I couldn't imagine what it'd be like in a barracks in boot camp for 8 to 13 weeks, and not being able to read or pray and be close to the God that I love. And I think that's one of the reasons. That's the big reason why the Lord just kind of took the passion away from me for that. And so I think the Lord now is really directing me towards PBI. Not 100% sure which year. But that's definitely a start. Second of all, I just really want to thank my mother for putting up with me for a lot of years, a few too many, and also my dad for being there and just everything that they did for me. I know I wouldn't have put up with myself. I know that's for sure. So I just really, really want to thank them and parents that God gave me, and that love the Lord, love the Bible, and just allowing me, Him allowing me to be able to be in this type of a family, in this type of a church. Also, just the people in the church putting up with me over the years, growing up, and all that was. I know for Brother Grissom was difficult at times in the teen class. I know I was definitely a brat at times, and I. You know, just the grace to put up with me and all that, and just helping me through, you know, trials and troubles and all that. And so I really want to thank the people here and also Brother Grissom and Mrs. Grissom for that, because I know that was a big part of it. And so that's, you know, I guess I don't know what else to say other than thank you to everyone. I mean, it's kind of amazing now that it's come, you know, the time has come. I've actually graduated. So, one verse I wanted to quote was Romans 5:20. It says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might be abound. But where sin abounded, grace did more abound." And that really stuck out to me. It was a blessing that God, again, would not only put up with me, but us as sinners. So I just want to leave you with that, and thank you.
Amen. All right. It is good to have you tonight. This is an unexpected honor and blessing for me to be asked to do this. And it also is given me one of my greatest challenges since I've been in the ministry. I've been told to keep this to 15 minutes. It remains to be seen whether or not that's possible, but it is my goal and intention. Praise the Lord. I've had this privilege to be at the graduation of three of my own children, and if there's something I learned about homeschool, it is 99.9% the mom that does it. Amen. And so forking over the money to buy the books is minimal compared to the hours that the parents, the mother spends. All right, now I'm going to try to give them a charge, which is interesting because they're behind me. And so I'm going to preach to them. I might turn around and just ignore you. That's what I might do. I'm not sure yet. But I want to give them a couple things. So if you got your Bible, go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And just a couple things, and it's directed for you. And it's to be a blessing and a help to you. And it applies to you. So in these few minutes, and I'm not even being facetious about that this time, maybe we'll get something that'll help us along the way. Luke chapter 19, familiar passage, it says in verse 1, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans." That's not Republicans. And it says, "And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." Verse 5 says this, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Father, again, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you'd be pleased with us, Father, tonight as we strive to give you honor and glory for what these young people have accomplished, Lord. And I pray that, God, you'd burden their heart to continue this day and the rest of their lives to give you honor and glory for anything they accomplished from here on out. And, Father, pray that just from this simple verse that that we've read, I pray that you'd just give us something that'd stick to us for a little while and be a blessing. Help us to remember how good you are and how much you care, and help us to care. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what I want to give you briefly is three things tonight from verse number 5. Three things from verse number 5. We'll read it again. It says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Now, first of all, Zacchaeus was a very industrious young man. Now, he was, the Bible said he was rich, and he became rich as a publican, so he wasn't lazy. He wasn't afraid of hard work. Amen. And he saw he couldn't get to where Jesus was. He had a noble desire to see him who he was. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And he put some effort into it. When he couldn't get to the front, amen, because of the press, because of the people, when he couldn't get to where he could see Jesus, he thought it through, and he made some effort, and he ran down the parade route, if you will, and he saw a sycamore tree, and he climbed it. Amen. Got up in there because the Bible records he wanted to see Jesus. I'll tell you what, if that guy would have had no more drive, amen, or initiative than some of us, amen, he'd have said, forget about it, let's go on home. But I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't. And the Bible says that when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw him. So let me say, first of all, Jesus saw him. He is up there in that tree. I don't know what time of year it was. I don't know if there's leaves on the tree. I don't know if he is trying to conceal himself or not. I don't suppose he was. But I do know this. The Bible says that Jesus looked up and he saw him. And my friend, tonight, we need to be ever mindful of this fact right here in Proverbs 15. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And I want to remind you, graduates, and you too, that are assembled here tonight in this church, I want to remind you that He sees you too. He sees you at your best. Amen. He sees you at your best when you're here at church, smiling away, being nice, being friendly, singing. Amen. He sees that. He sees you at your best. But I want to remind you as well that He sees you at your worst. Amen. He sees you in other places when you're not smiling, you're not so friendly. You've got a critical spirit. You're picking apart the preaching or the youth leader or somebody across the aisle. You follow me? I want to remind you, today we know that the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. But boy, sometimes the way we conduct ourselves, by the way, that some of the things pastors have to deal with, amen, by way of counseling, some of the things that the Lord leads an evangelist to preach at, show me that even though we claim to believe the book, amen, we don't always act like it. So I want to remind you, and I want to remind you, He sees you at your best. And He sees you at your worst. He sees you at your best when you're talking respectfully to your parents. Sometimes because you need something. And He sees that look that you give them behind their back when they said no or not now. He sees that. He sees that about you too. Amen. He sees that when you're sitting here hungry, when your preacher's preaching until he hits on something you don't like. He sees that too. Amen. He sees you roll your eyes. Independent Baptists have learned to roll their eyes without doing it outwardly. Because if you do it outwardly, it just spurs us on. And you don't want that. But I just want to say, amen, that He sees you at your best and He sees you at your worst. Amen. He sees you at your best when you're talking to people you like. And He sees you at your worst when you're talking about people you don't like. Again, this applies to everybody in here just as much as it does them. He sees you young people. He sees you when the way you treat your siblings. Sometimes I want you to remember that. Amen. When you think nobody's looking, He's looking. He saw Zacchaeus up in that tree. And I want to remind you that He sees you. When you don't mind, and when you wish He didn't, He does. Now, in all fairness, I got to say this, it's not all negative. He sees you when you're struggling. And He says to you, and get a hold of this, and implement this all your life. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And it's a blessing to know that we've got a Savior, amen, that's interested in the affairs of His children, amen, when they're doing good, but when they're not doing so good. It'd be a good thing to get into a habit for life. Not tonight, not next year, for life. That book says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm glad I got a Savior that sees me and sees that I have cares. And He says to cast them upon him. He saw Zacchaeus up there in that tree, and let me say, He sees you too. And that's not all. That's not all. It says in verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, He didn't just see him up there in that tree. He knew him. He knew he was chief of the publicans. He knew how he had treated even his own people in the execution of his job as a tax collector. He knew what kind of man he was. He knew everything about him. He knew his name. Amen. And could I remind you that He knows everything about you too. And He knows everything about me, and everything about you. He knows this right here. Psalm 139 says, "Thou knowest my down sitting." Down sitting. I remember a cartoon when I was a kid. A fella trying to lead a donkey, and the donkey didn't want to come along. And his amen. And he just plopped his rear end down, and the little fella trying to lead him was just tugging away, and they weren't getting anywhere. Amen. And that little donkey, we call that attribute of that animal, we call it stubbornness. And that Bible says there, he says, "Thou knowest my down sitting," and the Lord knows our stubbornness. And then it says uprising. And I remember, you know, F Troop when I was a little kid, and they were always worrying about Indian uprising. And that speaks of rebellion. And the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And those are two things that are inherent to the human nature, and two things that are not pleasing to God, and two things that He knows about us. The Bible said, "Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising," and those are two things to keep your guard up against. And again, that goes for everybody in here too. Amen. It says in Psalm 103, in verse 14, "He knoweth our frame, He remembereth we are dust." Maybe it'd do us well to remember we're dust sometime. All right, so he saw Zacchaeus, and he sees you, and he knew Zacchaeus, and he knows you. And it's getting better. It says this, and he said, "Zacchaeus," he said unto him, and said unto him, verse 5, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide thy house." He not only saw him and knew him, he wanted him. Amen. He wanted him. He says, "Come down, for today I must abide at thy house." I bet Mrs. Zacchaeus liked to have a heart attack right there. Amen. I know that if I had tried to invite somebody into that motorhome, amen, without giving my wife a warning, I'm in trouble for a while after that. Amen. I don't know what we're going to do after Evie moves on, because right now I still am getting away with blaming everything on her. But I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. And it is her fault. The problem is she's like her dad. Amen. But listen, last of all, Jesus wanted him. And there was a recruitment poster popular in World War II. It said Uncle Sam with his sleeves rolled up, and it pointed. It says, "I want you." I won't finish that for some of you. But listen, truth of the matter is, the Lord wants you. Amen. He sees you. He knows you. And He wants you. He wants you to love Him. Boy, and He's worthy. He's about the easiest person to love. Amen. I want my wife to love me, and that's a challenge sometimes. Amen. And I don't know what you're laughing at. Amen. But I'll tell you what, if there's anybody easy to love tonight, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Is anybody deserving of our love tonight? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Get a hold of Matthew 22, verse 37, and let it be a mainstay in your life to love the Lord. He wants you. He wants you to love Him, and He wants you to live for Him. It says in Romans 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Zacchaeus, the Lord saw him and knew him and wanted him. Let me say this to you, young people. The best testimony there is, it's not a testimony of a biker that got saved out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Listen, people got some things kind of mixed up. I'm going to tell you, the testimony I respect, the testimony that I look up to, is the testimony of a young man or a young woman that gave their sin to Jesus Christ, gave their life to Jesus Christ, purposed in their heart early on at a young age to live for God and walk with God. I got more respect for that than all the folks that have something in common with me. You understand? Don't you ever apologize to anybody for never having lived wickedly. Amen. That's what the Lord wants. Amen. And last of all, I know I said three things and I'm an evangelist, so I can't count. It says this in verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now the Lord saw him, and the Lord knew him, and the Lord wanted him, and the Lord got him. The Lord got him. Amen. And I want to say the same for you tonight and for you as well. He sees you, knows you, he wants you. Does he have you? Better make sure he has you. Because that book says, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He wants you too. You stick with God. You stay in church. You stay on your knees. And you stay in that book. Amen. And he'll have you. And that's what you need. Amen.
All right. My principal didn't say things like that to me. We'd like to have the superintendents, principals, and homeroom teachers of these young folks to come on up and present the diplomas. After Carrie and Denny come on up, and after you give Haley her diploma, if you guys will just go back over and stand over there for a second. Go ahead. If you want to say anything,
I just want to say that I'm really blessed and really thankful to have this opportunity. And I remember 10th grade being in biology class, glaring at my instructor because he was talking about evolution and was saying, you know, he had to give his little snippet about creation because that was just part of the curriculum. And he was like, well, some people believe in creation. And I would just glare at him. I just didn't like him. And it's just really a blessing to have all of this material that's focused on our Creator, you know, and gives glory and honor to Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I just want to say it's been a blessing. It's kind of amazing, you know, you know, they're little and they grow up and they're underfoot and you think, I've got laundry to do, I have this to do, and I'm teaching them, and you know, the years, you know, just kind of climb, you just kind of go slowly by, and then one day they're grown and they're gone. You know, so really, you know, some of you with younger ones really enjoy your time with them. Yeah. I just, I'm grateful for what the Lord has done. And it's been a privilege. There is no perfect world. There's no perfect world with public, private, or home school. Mm-hmm. But it's something that the Lord has, you know, allowed us to do. And I'm very grateful for it. And I wouldn't change a thing. It's been a blessing to see, you know, Daniel grow in the Lord, because, you know, some things as they're teenagers, you know, they're faced with all kinds of different things. You know, you know, it's just like adults go through things, and they do too, some heart-wrenching things. And it's been a blessing, you know, the Lord, to watch the Lord take something and turn it around and turn it for good. And so it's been a privilege, and I just, Daniel, I give you your.
Amen.
All right, let's stand. We're going to have a word of prayer real quick, and then these folks are going to go on out. I suppose. We'll take about a 5 or 7 minute break. If somebody needs some pictures, we can do that. Then I hope this has been an encouragement to some of you. I know that one of the things about the homeschool thing is that, and what we said here earlier is true. It is 99% mom. I stay home. A lot of you guys have no opportunity to stay home. I'm a pastor, so I get to stay home and do nothing. But I. You know, it still winds up being mom, you know, an awful lot. And, you know, you put in, you know, an awful, awful lot of labor, and mom gets feeling real isolated. And there's some long years sometimes, and it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. The light does the light at the tunnel eventually materializes and runs over you. And then they're graduated. But it's worth it. And, you know, I know everybody has to pray and make their own decisions, but it is worth it. This is the second kid we've graduated. I know that Bob and Teresa have graduated a couple, have another one graduating next year, and a lot of others, but it's worth it. Let's have a word of prayer. And Father, we are grateful for what we've gotten a chance to enjoy already here tonight.
Amen.
Lord, we pray you bless these young folks. Now, both these kids have been through things, Lord. I suppose some things are probably known to friends and intimate ones. Other things, Lord, are not, just like everybody has things that folks don't know. The Lord deals with 13, 14, 15, and 16-year-olds just as much as he deals sometimes with 35 and 45 and 55-year-olds, maybe more at times. And so they fought some battles, and these kids have been through some things, and there's probably things already in their lives that they regret. But they've made some right decisions, and there's been some good seed sown. I pray you'd help them to make right decisions from here on out. Help them to keep their priorities straight, Lord. Guide them in the way that they should go. From now on, mom and dad's influence in their lives will be much less. It's intended to be that way. They've grown up and they're working their way towards pretty much complete independency, not from thee, but from mom and dad. We're going to become more friends now, probably, than even parents in a way. And we look forward to that. But in the meantime, they're going to need their God to lead them. So we pray that you'd be with them. We pray you'd bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, we'll take about 5 or 7 minutes, and then we'll go right back into the main service.